Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Mix.
Beat Mix. Don't be a loser. Beat Mix. You're a loser.
Who's ready to Beat Mix? I know I sure am, because we made it. It's Friday.
I'm gonna jump, but I kind of have to pee.
Oh, Steve's doing something.
I'm doing the Beavis and Butthead.
Is that what that is?
I don't know.
Well, you're not jumping. You're more trying to thrusting.
I got bad knees.
Yeah.
I know Davin from Puyallup is. Davin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm Sarah, your host, and it's time for you to get out of here, Steve.
Goodbye.
For those playing at home, Davin has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you'll only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
The Rockstar energy drink came out in what early 2000s year?
2001, 2, 3.
One, yes. What glam metal band had the hit song Cherry Pie?
That's Pat.
No,
Pat.
What famous baseball player married Marilyn Monroe in 1954?
I have no clue. Pass.
What sci-fi show features the iconic tagline, "The truth is out there"?
X-Files?
Yes. According to Google, what brand of beer is most popular to drink on St. Patrick's Day?
Guinness.
Yes. What did the U.S. Postal Service add in 1963 that is part of every address today?
Zip code?
Yes. What type of animal is a Mexican hairless?
Cat?
No.
Dog.
Yes. Santiago is the capital city of which South American country?
Say the city name again, sorry?
Santiago.
Chile.
Yes! Woo! And with that, you get 6 correct. Okay, you got to 8 questions, so 6 out of 8 is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Steve isn't fast and gets through them all, because then...
Let's hope he doesn't.
Yeah, because then he might win. But I got faith. Steve, are you ready?
Yes!
The Rockstar energy drink came out in what early 2000s year?
2000.
No.
2001.
Yes. What glam metal band had the hit song Cherry Pie?
Oh, tastes so good, makes a grown man cry. Sweet cherry pie. Warren.
Yes. What famous baseball player married Marilyn Monroe in 1954?
Oh, Joe DiMaggio.
Yes. What sci-fi show features the iconic tagline, "The truth is out there"?
X-Files.
Yes. According to Google, what brand of beer is most popular to drink on St. Patrick's Day?
Coors Light.
No.
Guinness?
Yes. What did the U.S. Postal Service add in 1963 that is part of every address today?
Stamps.
No.
Wait, oh no, zip code.
Yes.
What the hell am I thinking?
What type of animal is a Mexican hairless?
A dog.
Yes. Santiago is the capital city of which South American country?
Benito.
No.
I just like that. Benito Santiago. He was a good catcher. I don't know. Peru?
No.
Mexico?
No. When it comes to the law enforcement agency, what does the F stand for in FBI?
Federal.
Yes. And you get 8 correct, which is a win. 8-6.
Let's go.
I'm sorry, Davin.
It's all good.
We had a good attitude about it.
Yes.
There's always a nice time.
I'm the best! I'm the best! I'm the best!
I don't want to call you the best, but man, you've been killing it. So, okay, we don't need to play it again. That wasn't permission for you to play it again.
I'm the best.
Okay, we get it.
I'm the best.
Davin did get correct that Santiago is the capital of Chile.
Chile.
Steve Miggs, tonight is the night.
Let's go.
Live Night is back this evening. We're going to be at Showbox Soto. Tickets start at just $35, and people can get them at the door.
Absolutely. And you get to meet and hang out with Seahawks legend. I mean, we're all fired up about the Seahawks. They've been playing great recently. He also is part of the fifth quarter on NBC. It's Walter Jones. He'll be there tonight as well. Can't wait to see Big Walt.
It's going to be the Daily Miggs Show doing it live, the Men's Room doing it live, all the screw-ups, all the sound effects, everything performed live at Showbox Soto tonight. And you can get your tickets now at KISW.com.
The Daily Miggs Show.
Jelly Roll recently sat down with GQ to talk about his tattoos.
Okay, he's got a lot of them.
Covered, I mean, literally almost head to toe.
What was that commercial, the Super Bowl commercial? Was it, I can't remember. Remember there's a scene where he looks in the mirror and he's like, what happened to my face? Who did this to me?
In this clip, he shares
Uber
a tattoo.
Eats, I believe it was.
Oh, was it? That the one?
I think so. I think this is the one right here. Yeah, hold on.
What happened to my face?
I love his accent, too. He's so adorable. In this clip, he shares a tattoo that he is not very proud of.
I don't know. I hate them all. I don't know where to start. Maybe the baby smoking the blunt was a little excessive. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that was a little bit much.
What was the inspiration for that?
And how well do you know the tattoo artist to say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Can you put this on my body? Have you ever seen that? Have you seen the tattoo?
I don't think I know that one.
I haven't either. I haven't really seen many pictures of him without a lot of clothes on, so.
Those aren't the thumbnails you're clicking on?
No, I should be, though, apparently. I don't even click on his music thumbnails, to be honest with you. I've never, besides us talking about Jelly Roll and maybe playing like a clip on our show, I've never listened to an entire Jelly Roll song.
Okay.
You're a fan.
He's had a few songs that we've played because I've seen him in concert too. He literally has country songs, he has hip hop songs, he has rock songs, and he has some that kind of incorporate all of that. So he can kind of rock in any musical vein he wants.
Well, Sarah just found the picture, and it is a very weird looking. First of all, the baby looks like an alien.
It looks like it's like possessed.
It's like a Gerber baby that just found the devil.
It literally looks like the Gerber baby smoked a blunt.
I think it's kind of cute. I like it.
Disagree. I mean, but you also like ugly dogs, and you think they look cute, like
That's
hairless
true.
Dogs.
That's so very true.
It's kind of on that level. Danny, have you seen this tattoo?
No.
It's weird as all hell.
I'm also wondering if, because he's spent some time behind bars, I'm wondering how many of his tattoos were maybe prison tats.
Well, that would be an upgrade from this tattoo, I feel.
In this next clip, he talks about one that he needed to get covered up.
A lot of these are cover-ups. The ones that were really bad have already been covered up. So this is the Nashville skyline. I got this to cover up. I had surviving the struggle, but we had forgot to put the T in it. So it said surviving the struggle.
Clearly, he's not going to the best tattoo artists.
That was actually part of the advice that he wanted to bestow upon all of us.
Yeah, it's the same way. Cross the T, dot the I's. You can't cross a T when you don't have the T.
He said, if you're thinking about getting a tattoo, save up as much money as you can to be able to afford a very, very good tattoo artist.
Not wrong.
A cheap tattoo ain't good, and a good tattoo ain't cheap.
Yes.
That's my advice.
Cheap tattoos make for great stories.
Do you have any cheap ones?
Yeah. It wasn't cheap. It was just a regrettable decision. I remember when I first moved out here, I just picked a random tattoo shop and just a random tattoo artist. Didn't even bother looking at anything. Just said, I want this. And the tattoo's okay. It just, he didn't do a good enough job of filling it all in. So there's like spots on it that aren't fully colored. And it's just not, it's not very well done. Although I've never covered it up and I've never had it retouched. I've always been a fan of just, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it's, I mean, not all my tattoos are perfect. Not all of them are great, but they all represent moments. And for me, that represented moving to Seattle and finding a tattoo artist. Like, the story is why I still love the tattoo.
How much was that tattoo? Do you remember?
Maybe like $150
yeah.
at the time.
I think the first two I got were like $50 each.
Yeah.
And they're not, they're fine, but they're not great.
The Daily Migs Show.
Rockaholics, when were you at a show where that show had to be cut short? 206-803-ROCK. Gabe in Tacoma, it was a Van Halen show for you. What happened?
Well, Dave came out with 102 temperature and gave us an hour and 45 minutes of great rock and roll and then passed out.
No way! Oh. Damn!
Yeah. Same venue there at Mercer Arena.
Yeah.
I had another one there, too, where the Kinks, a guy fell out of the rafters and landed on a bunch of people there.
Holy smokes.
And they stopped the show, I'd imagine, right?
Oh, lights came up immediately.
So he fell from, like, the upper level and just, oh, my gosh.
No, he was in the rafters.
How the hell did he end up in the rafters?
He crawled up there into the catwalk and then fell out.
He must have been on something.
I'm sure.
Right. That's just crazy. Man, so you got to see, when was that Van Halen show? Like, what tour was that for?
That was probably 1980.
Wow. So you saw them right before they were obviously popular, but before 1984.
Yes.
Damn, that must have been pretty awesome to see those guys when they were young and just probably full of massive energy up there.
My feet did not move from the spot. We were just stood there mesmerized, especially watching Eddie.
Aww.
Oh, I can only imagine, dude. That's pretty incredible. I mean, I only saw David Lee Roth when it wasn't a good run for him, when he did Bumbershoot, and he wore this weird fluorescent green one-piece bodysuit, and he was having a tough time getting through the set. I kind of wish he would have finished the set early. It was like one of those shows where you're just like, all right, he's trying to kick his feet in the air, but he couldn't fully get them up high enough. It was just not, his voice didn't sound good. I feel like that might have been like a rough patch for him.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But I'm so jealous. That must have been an amazing show to see them back in 1980.
206-803-ROCK, when were you at a show and that show was cut short? Forrest in Columbia City, for you, it was a Sex Pistols show.
Yeah, I was in Memphis in the late 70s. I was just turned 18. I saw them at the Taliesin Ballroom, which looked like a school cafeteria, kind of, with big long tables. Anyway, they came out. There were police everywhere around the walls of the little venue. And they played like four songs, and Sid Vicious's bass was pretty much unintelligible. You couldn't tell what he was playing. And it got worse and worse, and it kept getting louder and louder, and then he just took his bass off and threw it and onto the stage and then walked off. And they tried to continue for a couple songs without him, or for one song without him, and then they just said, screw it, and we're out. And they left. There was like five songs. And I have to say, it was a blast. I'd never seen the punk scene in Memphis at the time, and I didn't know there was one. And it was pretty enlightening.
Dude, I mean, the fact that you got to see the Sex Pistols with Sid Vicious, which, I mean, some people always goof that he didn't really even know how to play the bass, so him wasted trying to play the bass maybe made it even worse. But, man, that's insane that you got to see those guys at that time. Is this my buddy, Forrest? Yeah. Is this my...
It is.
Aw, man, much love to you, my friend.
Peter Parker is a band.
Damn straight it is. So is Dorkweed. Forrest is an incredible bassist. He used to be playing a band called Dorkweed, and they were amazing.
Did you guys play together then back in the day?
Oh, yeah. For a half a minute, I was also in the band. I played keyboards, but I didn't know how to play keyboards.
You were doing chopsticks?
No, I wrote like little signs and letters on the keys that I needed to hit. I really joined the band so I could drink with them.
Oh, my God.
Because they were just like this fun party band, and I loved everybody in the band, including Forrest. He was such an incredible bassist.
206. And, oh, sorry, go ahead.
And I would just be wasted up on stage with like a kid's megaphone singing backing vocals and just touching random keys. It was a sight to be seen.
Was that like your Scott Weiland phase doing the...
That was
megaphone?
Steve is stupid and stoned face. Doesn't know how to play the keyboard, but is pretending to do it up there on stage with this band that's really good.
Corey and Sumner, yours was a Slipknot show.
Hey, guys. Yeah, it was the first Pain in the Grass that ever happened up at the White River. And Slipknot was the headline of the last band of the night. And they came out on stage and told everybody that they had to cancel the show because Joey Jordison
It's stomach issues.
He's like spleen or kidney or something.
Dude, Corey, that I remember that. It was insane and kind of almost scary when I remember we were backstage, because Joey was there, and he seemed fine earlier in the day. I think they did an interview, and then all of a sudden, I'll never forget this, and thankfully they went on stage and let everybody know. But Corey, there was a point backstage where they're like, Slipknot's not able to play, Joey's sick, we have to let the fans know. And somebody came over to me and goes, Steve, you go up there and tell everybody that Slipknot's not going to be able to play. And I remember, I looked and go, I am not doing that.
You don't want to be on that stage.
There's no way. Yeah. There's no way.
We're all getting ready to leave early because we were afraid of what the fans were going to do.
Right, dude. And so they're like, no. And then finally, thank goodness for Corey Taylor. Massive props to him. He realized this news should come from the band. Otherwise, it could be a full-on riot.
Oh,
because it's
gosh.
Slipknot.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, there was still craziness that happened when they announced, hey, we have to cancel the show. We'll be back. We promise you. I think some people were trying to like turn over cars, and it was chaos, man. It was kind of scary.
The Daily Migs Show.
There was another airline passenger meltdown this week, and it happened on Spirit. I'm starting to think they need to put one of those countdowns up.
Yes.
0 days since our last meltdown.
It's been 17 days since we had someone lose their mind.
So, of course, someone who was on the plane posted this woman who was completely freaking out while three deputies were trying to take her off of the flight for being disruptive. And here is the audio.
Oh, crap. I thought I had it. There it is. Here we go.
I will walk out on my own. You don't need this. Why are you doing that? Why are you acting like I'm a rascal?
There's nothing better than saying something weird and having everyone on the plane laugh at you all. Like a rascal?
A rascal is what I heard.
Let this go. Can I do that with freedom? All I care about is freedom. That's fine. I've been there before.
Okay.
That's fine.
I wish that the flight attendant could be like, all right, real quick, calm down for a second. Why were you there before? We need to know, and we need to understand what's going on with you where you're cool with being arrested.
This nigga's hurting my elbow. He's hurting my wrist. You're hurting me, Sheriff. You're hurting me, Sheriff.
Does Barrett ever do that where he pretends that he's hurt and he makes like the most ridiculous sounds? Because I know Tatum does that. Like, it's clear you're not hurt. You're making these sounds up.
And then 5 seconds later, everything is fine.
Right.
I can't breathe. This is George Floyd.
Get off the plane.
Get off the plane. I can't breathe. 1.4
BP.
Now they're all pissed off. Did she just say, ladies and gentlemen, I can't breathe?
She also apparently saw that people had their phones out and they encouraged everyone else to go ahead and record. And everybody already was doing that.
I was gonna say, you don't need to ask people to record. Of course, everybody's pulling out their phone whenever there's a meltdown.
She also told one of the hecklers to shut up and compared him to a well-known actor.
Hey, record!
We see you hit him.
Yeah, that's assault.
Yeah, you just assaulted an officer.
Shut up, Richard Gere! Shut up, Richard Gere!
So yeah, we're back in airplane chaos business, Rockaholics.
Are you complimented if someone just said, hey, shut up, Richard Gere? Like, oh, you know what? Richard Gere's a good looking guy. Could have been worse.
Richard Gere's very handsome.
I know if it was me, she'd be like, shut up, Shrek!
The Daily Migs Show.